Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2, and from verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, and from verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of this garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat of this you shall surely die. Hallelujah. Now let me start from here, and I want you to please give me your attention. Sometimes for those of us who have vehicles, you take your cars to the mechanic and you have some issues with it. Sometimes you just think there might be something particularly that you think you know that is wrong with this car. Then they try to fix that part and the car is still not working properly. And then maybe you start hearing some noises. Then they begin to troubleshoot. Most times, or a lot of times, I find that the mechanics don't troubleshoot until they are stuck. They just assume that they know. But usually, you are supposed to take your scanner and try to check what you think the problem is. I made that example to say that everything that God has created is built on a system. There is nothing God created twice. There is no miracle even Jesus did the same way. Jesus never repeated a miracle the same way. If you read the New Testament, he healed blind people in different ways. He could use mud. He could pray for them. He could speak to them. He could take them to a corner. There was nothing God. God is a very creative person. He never repeats a design. Never. So for you to think that your life is like somebody else because you don't know who God is. Somebody might be a mentor to you. You don't have to talk like him. You don't have to speak like him. Yes, you may, by virtue of association, you may pick some things, but it should not be deliberate. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you are uniquely designed. It would be a shame that you never really showed up till you died. Everything God created was unique, and God only created that thing once. So he now put the seed for procreation into that person. I don't know if you're with me now. So God created a man and gave him seed. So that man is the reason why we have over 7 billion people. In that wise, everybody on earth is related. Hallelujah. So when you say Chinese, you can call him brother. Now, you may not believe me because for whatever reason, you cannot you cannot do that. But I can because I know it's my brother. But you cannot. You may want to trace your family lineage and you may find that a part of you has been in Korea. Some of you don't like that one. You prefer that your lineage passes through America and it doesn't make any difference. You are from China, I'm telling you. From China. Some of you are from Russia. Your lineage is from Russia. You are not even anything close to the UK. You are from war. That's why even your prayer life is very warfare-like. You are not for peace. Go and check your history, I'm telling you. You people don't know so many things. Some of you are from Togo. Or Benin. I'm checking my own now. So far, I've gotten to Egypt, but I'm still tracing it. But I have a feeling it will end up in the US. I have a feeling, but I'm not. Now, that's my personal opinion. You have to, in the US, they tell you respect people's opinion. It's only in this part of the world where your own opinion does not matter. God built everything on a system. Which means if you want to understand why some prayers are not answered, it's not because the prayer was not said. It's because there's a system that is making an anomaly to happen that has not been dismantled. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't know if you hear what I just said. Yes, so you can be praying, but what you are praying against is what Paul refers to as strongholds. Strongholds. I think that's this 2 Corinthians 10. 10 verse 1 to 3. Paul talks about strongholds. Stronghold means in the ancient times, in the years of the Vikings, you know, when Europe was at war, when you take ownership of a particular village or city, you build a stronghold there, which means the other enemy or army cannot take over that place. They will need to fight. So, but a stronghold is like a system. It's just layers of strongholds. It's just like in IT. You can build layers of security into your company's, what do you call that thing now? I'm looking for the word. Database. Huh? Network, yeah. So even if someone is trying to hack into your database from an external location, from another location, it's going to have some issues. Now, forget that some of you were actually trained by hackers. Some of you were trained by professional hackers. You didn't go to computer school. You were trained by professional hackers. So, by default, you don't go through the main door. You always look for Windows. You understand? You look for... that your system is a Windows laptop. That's why some of you cannot use Mac. Because Mac will not allow you hack. So I just like Mac. You're a hacker. I just like Windows. You're a hacker. Go and learn how to use a proper laptop in a computer. That thing in your hand is a computer. But the one, this Mac is computer. That's different from that one. You can't hack this one. You can hack that one. It's built on a system. Even the idea behind being a very good hacker, you are fooling the system. You are fooling the system. So, if you are fighting a battle and you notice you are pushing all the buttons, but there is no, you are not getting the kind of response you are looking at, look for a thread. Begin to look for a thread. There might be a link here that connects to another link here that connects to another link over there. So, once you are able to trace it, you will find where the stronghold is. The stronghold may be 300 years away from you. But you are here wondering why you did everything. I mean, like, how do you explain that I was in school for 4 years? I didn't study banking. In fact, I never understood. The only thing I remember about my wife's class was that they were always complaining about cost of financial accounting, cost accounting, all those things. I'm just looking at them like, what's wrong with this? Like, only God knows who we succeed. And my colleagues who are in law, the law department or faculty, they just wear white and black, terrorize everybody. Then we graduated and realized that if you got a job today as a lawyer, they might pay you 30,000 or 35,000. And you paid 1 million to go to law school. And somebody has no respect for the fact that your parents borrowed 1 million to pay. I mean, you just realize that there's somebody who just throw to school, comes and resumes in a bank, and they say, this is your computer, debit and credit. Once they say debit, there must be a credit. That's all. Continue posting. And I continued. And I did it for 12 years. Some of you are benefiting from the labors of your fathers. The efforts they have made on other people's lives. It's what you are benefiting, and you think it's your anointing. It's not your anointing. Once something is built on a system, you can't take that thing out until you dismantle the system itself. There must be a disconnection so that the current is not, or the voltage is no longer flowing. And that's what God was explaining here. There is a law of sin and there is a law of death. Come on, are you with me now? When God created man, death was available, but death was not active. Somebody who is AS really comes down. I'm yet to see one. Really comes down with the kind of sickness somebody who is SS will come down with. But he has the gene. He has the S gene. But he's even healthier than an AA. And he'll be boasting my faith in Christ. I don't get malaria. See, I just walk by faith. But when we checked his blood, we realized it's AS. Say, okay. So we left him. Your day is coming. We that we are AA, we've arranged our team. We know that so time, the mosquitoes will come again. So I use the AS gene to describe how somebody can have life, but have a gene that is inactive. Are you with me now? So, when God created man, death was available. And let me tell you, everything God does is for balance. The moment Satan sinned against God, as far as God was concerned, Lucifer was dead. So Lucifer became Satan. But the guy that stood before God and worshipped him was already a dead person. He didn't exist again. So the law of death was active in Lucifer, in Satan, but it was present on earth, but was not active. Death could not kill anybody. So God was introducing the law of sin and death here. And he said that the day you shall eat of this tree, you shall what? You shall surely die. That means that the law of death was only made active by the law of sin. Are you with me? So, if the more you deviate from sin in your personal life, the less hold of death on you. Come on now. Are you here? If the practice of sin brought death, which is why people are still dying today, which is why you will not find a generation that lived longer than their preceding generation. Come on, are you with me? Do you understand what I just said? There is no generation that lives beyond the average life of the preceding generation. So, before now, you hit 70 years, 75, then doctor says, you have high blood pressure. Now you have 30 years old, 35, who are coming down with high blood pressure. Somebody came here some time ago and said she was going through a challenge. She's just about 29 or so. And the blood pressure rose to 180 or 170. Now, if you know that calculation, that's extremely high. Very high. 170 over 100 and something. That was very high. But she's not even 30. She just had some challenges at the office. By the time she got to the hospital, the blood pressure was already very high. So, these are the battles now that we have to face. We must look at what is feeding that system. Dismantle it. That means you cannot fight some spiritual battles if you are not spiritually trained in warfare. And I said this with due respect to the fact that God calls us differently. But there are some tools that you need. Like the tool of prayer, like the tool of knowledge, like the tool of prophecy. If what you are dealing with is something that has happened at least twice in your family. Maybe people don't get married, or they don't give birth to children, or they don't do well generally. And you decide that the kind of church you want to attend in Lagos is the church where they teach you how to make it in life. You would have been dead before your breakthrough finally gets to Nigeria, because fuel can be exhausted somewhere in between the Atlantic Ocean. So you need to be very, very skilled. When you see a problem, your mind must begin to work like, what are the possible reasons why we are having this problem? So God said to Adam that I have given you everything in this garden to eat. But there is one. Why did God make provision? Somebody say, why did God put that tree there if he didn't want them to eat it? Because God makes provision for balance. It would have been unfair of God to hide the reality of sin and death from Adam when it already existed. So God didn't put the tree there because he wanted him to fall. God put it there because it was a reality that should not be taken away. And God gave him a warning. Don't touch it. The reason why God would say don't touch it, it was not the touching that killed him. It was the eating. It's because there is something about enticement. The touching brings enticement. The touching brings enticement. Just like for those of us, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one with that problem, but when you tell your children, don't go there, the moment you say it, that's just turn your back. You see them going there. There's an enticement. Something like, what is in that place? What is? I said, I have a particular chair in my house, and I said to my folks, nobody apart from your mom can sit on this chair. The one that just got to my realized they were taking turns. So sit on the chair. This is my anointed throne. But they decided to commonize it. So I shouted, then I forgot. I said, this battle is lost. So I left it. So there is a law of enticement that you have to watch out for. The moment God said, don't touch this thing, the natural human instinct is to say, go there. So you need to understand how sin works. The law of sin cannot be active without your participation. It cannot be active without your participation. God said, the day you shall surely eat of this, you will die. This is a law. I'm talking about a law. A law is something that is built on standard principles. That means once it is active, you cannot break it. If you break it, the law doesn't disappear, it creates another one. When the plane is about to take off, it's held by gravity, but when it gets to a particular point, that law of gravity is suspended, then it creates the law of lift that allows the plane to stay in the air. And somebody said, yeah, you know, you have to be careful what you listen to from scientists. They said the first 3 minutes after a plane takes off is the most dangerous time. Thank God that it was after the last flight I took. Because sometimes too much knowledge will make you mad. You are just looking for things on the internet. You see what will disturb you. You know, the person just said like, oh, are you aware that the first 3 minutes, I say, ah. So now you see that the next plane I'll be looking at my watch. That's it. You see, so you have to be careful where you are looking for knowledge. So the law of lift suspends the law of gravity. That means that you cannot destroy a spiritual law. You supplant it with a higher law. And what is the law that God uses to address the law of sin and death? It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This law pushes you into sin. And when sin is matured, it brings what? Death. But this other law brings you life. Life in your spirit and life in your entire body. So, we are talking about the conquering power, because sometimes most of us think that everything God does is out of his prerogative. No. Everything God does is backed up by a law. So, I want you to realize that what you say is, sometimes you call mercy, is God actually obeying certain rules that have been triggered. Somebody was by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. That man was not 38 years old. That man was old enough to be Jesus' father. But he had been at that pool for 38 years. Every time he made an effort, but he never got there. Made an effort. So the law of mercy was able to push him because of his effort. What Jesus did was to help his incapacity, his failure, because humanly speaking, the guy was trying. If you are poor, if you're a poor man, but you have a very powerful prayer life, a very powerful prayer, you pray like 4 hours every day, you'll be highly anointed, but you'll be poor. You'll still be poor. You'll be highly anointed. You may raise the dead, but you'll be poor. Because the key to prosperity is not prayer. So what prayer does is to bring you into revelation knowledge of what you need to spend your time doing that can make you rich. But if you still don't do that thing, which is what most people are guilty of, they have prophecies that they never do anything about. They like what I call flowery prophecies. You know, things that are just nice to hear, but there's no responsibility. Again, I'm still speaking about the law. Our bodies are made of several systems. How many now? Is it 12 or 13? I'm not a doctor, and I think I have C6 in biology. If they give me that same question now, question paper, God help us. I'm not sure it's my area anymore. C6 in biology, Oriyomi, we call it Oriyomi. You know, just get the result and you move on. But your body is made up of what? A respiratory system. That means that it's not just one organ. There's a system put in place that enables you to breathe. And these things work like 24 hours. You have a circulatory system. You have a reproductive system. When your child begins to take reproductive science in class as a subject in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, it's a very difficult conversation, especially if you're a pastor. It's a very difficult conversation. Do I address this issue as a Christian? Or as a father? Or as a scientist? None of these positions are comfortable. Because you have to explain something. You can't just say, believe in God, have faith. You know, you've got to go down and talk about it. No, nobody taught us this one. When we were dancing at the altar, we wanted to get married. Nobody told us that the time will come, you discuss some things with your children. And it's very uncomfortable. I'm a private person. I can't sit down and be having this kind of conversation. I learned it. My wife was talking about it. I said, no, just go ahead. Talk about it. I'm with you. I'm coming. Just go ahead. I ran away. You have reproductive systems. This is how your body works. So, before you think that, I slept and I woke up. It was God that woke me up in the morning. It was not your alarm clock. And we preach it. It's not your alarm clock that woke you up this morning. It was the grace of God. And you shouted. Please. As you are shouting, just remember that. So that God won't be coming every morning to say, oh yeah, wake up. You are still sleeping, wake up. God put a system in your body that obeys God. That system, that circulatory, respiratory, whatever, cardio, it obeys God. It's not you. The thing doesn't love it. It is God that, you know, you are a disobedient person, but that thing in your body, it still obeys God. That's why you woke up. So God is not against obeying laws. God is a God of laws and principles. That when a man operates in the power of God, that man is obeying certain principles. It's not because God loves him more than he loves you. You have your muscular system. You have your endocrine. What's that? Is it, which one deals with the hormones? Study of the, is it endocrine? You know, they didn't ask me this one in biology, but somehow, because I read, so I know, I heard a pastor preaching, he now mentioned endocrine, I quickly Googled it. That's how I learned it. As a pastor, you should know so many things. Everything is your Bible. You have to know endocrine. So that when they are talking, say, oh, okay, it's the study of the hormones. Oh, okay, okay. Went for a meeting, my wife and I, somewhere, and I started to educate them on what must have happened to this particular person, causing this particular fault or swelling, inflammation in his body. And I'm sure they were wondering, is this guy a doctor? His book. Just open it and, you know, there's a way you learn better when you are sure there's no exam. It's easy to learn. But when you know there's an exam, you just want to cram and pass. So if you talk to me now, I can educate you about the endocrine system, how it works. But it's a system. That's just what I'm trying to tell you. It's a system. You've got to understand why certain things spiritually work the way they do. And why certain things will not work even if you pray. Because what compels those things are not necessarily prayer. They are other things. The reason why that man dies, the reason man dies today is because man has violated the law of God. Let me give you a good example of what Adam and his wife did. I wish maybe when God gives us a bigger space, a day is coming where the size of this church now will be the altar, you know. So then we have flowers, big flowers, huge ones, live flowers, you know. Something you can play with. The flower draws its life from the soil. Man was designed to draw his life from God. If you take out that flower from the soil, it's dead. You may not see the sign immediately, but in 6 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours, it is drying up. When God said to man, you shall not eat of this, it was not because God was restricting him. God was telling him that there is a law you create when you violate another law. The moment you pull this flower out of the soil, you have unconsciously created another law, and that is the law of death. The moment you pull out this flower from the soil, that is sin. The moment you sin, you violate the law of God concerning any area of your life. You have unconsciously, subconsciously, unconsciously, anyhow, you have created, you have activated another law. Death was present in that garden, but it could not do anything to Adam. Until Adam violated the law of God. Are you still here? So before you decide to sin next time, just remember that when you violate a law of God, you are automatically activating another law that will fight you. And you cannot go and bind that other law. You have to trace to the cause. What did you do that activated that other cause that is fighting? So you trace that thing to where it started from. Disobedience. In Psalms chapter 62 and verse 11, the scripture says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard, that power belongs to God. Speaking of power, let me also tell you, I'm just passing by, but let me just say this. There are many prophets today in this country, in Africa, that you see and you call them prophets, but they are psychics. Psychic mediums. Okay? I have some of them. They are my friends on YouTube. YouTube friend, though. Not... Because sometimes to understand what you are dealing with, you need to listen to that person who is erroneous in his ways. They call themselves prophets. And to be a prophet means you have the ability, the power to know things that are not your business. Yeah. You can hack into somebody's mind and know what they are thinking. Like the brother that wanted to marry a witch and brought her that I should bless the marriage. And I said, I'm still a young pastor. I've never joined a witch to a brother before. So this will not be the first time. Suspend. And they began to, you know, they insisted. We have bought cow. I said, you bought cow without coming to church first. Go and join yourself now. It takes, how can a lady be sitting in front of you? Ah, pastor, it's good to see you. I've heard so much about you. Don't hear anything about me. You are a witch. I don't even know. Maybe you heard that in your coven. By the time the girl started manifesting and talking with the voice of a man, some of you say you like that girl. You like Franca. You like Franca. By the time Franca shows you who she is, you will know you are the wife. She's the husband. If you want to marry a brother, and brother is always on point, always ready, he's hiding something. He's everywhere, is always arranged. How can a brother's house be always... there's something wrong. There's something. Somebody is hiding something here. Somebody is hiding something. Everywhere is neat. The place are... everywhere arranged. Check this guy. Check him. If you can get my services, if you can, I will come there and tell you what he's hiding. But you people, you like free things. You know, this one is not profit. It's my business. I will come and tell you what is hiding and where is hiding it. Or you come to a lady's house, everywhere is arranged, perfect, whatever. Check it out. That lady may have the spirit of anger. Yeah? But she needs to get married, so she's hiding it. It's when you now marry her, you will know that what you brought to the house is more than you. So there are people who have gone to other sources to acquire power. But David is telling us that I heard God has spoken once, but I heard it twice. That means when God spoke, it echoed in my soul. It was sounded not just in the spirit realm, but within me, that true power belongs to God. So once this revelation is cast in your spirit, you are not afraid of what man can do to you again. Because the source of power is first of all in revelation. I said the source of power is first embedded in the system, the law that produces power, just like the law of sin and death, is rooted in revelation. That means you are not permitted to access something that has not been bettered in your spirit. You are not permitted to have access to power that you've not caught a revelation of in your spirit. Before God brings anything to you, that thing must be cast in your spirit. Come on, say power belongs to God. Now, I say this because there was a law of life that I was sharing with you that I likened to the plant that was uprooted from the soil. Every time you draw close to God in fellowship, every time you draw close to God in place of prayer, seeking the Lord, fellowship with the saints, you are strengthening your position in the soil. Anytime Satan convinces you with whatever reason, online, whatever it is he convinces you with, to stay away from God. Listen to me, even if you sinned against God, come to the temple. That's the mistake most people make. They commit sin, then they run away from God because they know that they took themselves to that boy's house. And when they were going there, they both knew what was going to happen. But they behaved like they did not, like, well, I just came to greet you. And you are alone in that room. Okay, what are you supposed to be doing? Studying the word of God. Praying. Fellowship. Giving offering. Fire. Check, listening to pastor's message on Mixella. Don't be deceived. There is something that is called, some of you who are science students, if you are an art student, you may not really appreciate what I'm saying now. But if you are a science student, there is a subject called chemistry. You mix different chemicals together and we see the reaction. So you are positive, she's negative. By the time we mix it together, or you are sodium and this is chloride, you mix it together, you get sodium chloride. Or you are nitrogen and she is oxygen. When you mix it together, you get nitric oxide or nitrogen oxide, you know. So you are deceiving yourself when you tell yourself that you are a prayer warrior and that you are going to check on Sister Martha. And God knows you are already being uprooted from that soil. Your hormones, many times, they are stronger than your faith. Say amen. Your hormones are many times stronger than your faith. Your hormones are a system put in there by God. They only obey the language they speak. They don't listen to your faith. Do you understand? They have been wired in a particular way. That's why you will say, oh God, help me, help me. And you are still going there. Are still going there. You sinner. Are still going there. Say, oh God, ah, oh God. What, oh God, what am I doing here? Oh God. And you are still going. Like you people have experience. It's part of the endocrine system. What do I mean? Sorry, reproductive. Well, he said, God is the giver of children. Amen. Really? So you are praying and waiting on the Lord, trusting God. And then you just suddenly had a baby. Suddenly, the Lord just did it. Say, what God cannot do does not even exist. Look at it. That's why it was very difficult for the pastors of the days of Holy Mary to believe that she was not sinning. Even if I was the pastor, I would just call her, come. Come and see me at home. You know, as the head usher of this church, we appreciate you. So, but really, what's going on? No, even we make reference to it, but we don't believe. We believe Mary now because she's dead. But you ask yourself that that you are the pastor. They say your head usher or Adeshola, the head of the prayer, said it's the Holy Spirit. Like, ah, come on now, Habba. See, there's no wonder we all commit sin. God forgives us. Tell me, is it Brother Matthias or is it Brother Marcus? Let's just know. Because everybody knows, even in that arcade time, that there are laws that God has set in motion. The moment you initiate one, it will keep bringing forth other rules, other laws, and it becomes uncontrollable. So don't play with sin, because the goal of sin is not pleasure, it's death. The target of sin is not pleasure, it's what? It's death. And the violation of the will of God, of the counsel of God, of the laws of God, is why many times when we say, thou power of the Lord, we do not see anything, because several laws have been violated before that point. And that's why the Lord even said to us in scriptures, seek the Lord while he may be found. That means there's a time when God may not be found. For instance, if you know you have a major thing that is going on in your life, something you want to do, or a project, or something that could be life-threatening, or about life, and something very important to you, it is not the day of that project you start praying. It's a law. So, what I read to you in Psalm 62:11 is what I call the law of power. Tracing the real source of power, which is why I spoke about mediums and psychics. People who, you can go to that church and all they will just be doing is prophesying, prophet lying to you. One of them in Ibadan went to preach in a church and told the members, I am not a pastor. I am a prophet. I don't have time to be settling quarrel. I just see vision and I tell you, bam. So the pastor that invited him is a small boy. That's what he's saying. I'm not here to play. I'm a prophet. We see the mind of God. But there are alternative sources of power because the demands and the commands of God, many cannot keep it. What it takes for God to anoint you? Huh? The word anointing comes from that concept of crushing the olive fruit. What comes out is what? Oil. So the anointing is like oil, but it only comes out when they say crushing. That crushing is what most people cannot stand. So they prefer to go and swallow one stone somewhere or to go and wash their face somewhere. So when you see people's lives, to what end? And that's why you should, when you are moved by people who tell you your phone number, ATM pin numbers, people will transfer money to your account when you didn't do anything. Say, what they call that thing? Miracle money. Yeah, miracle money can happen, but it happens at the preserve of God. It's not something anybody can just decide and start transferring. You need to let us know who transferred this money. So when people cannot meet up with the demand of God, which includes hard work, now, I know you have a job, but do you work hard? Or are you grumbling through the job? The moment you, whatever you grumble cannot prosper. If you grumble on it, you cannot prosper. You got to understand why sometimes you are even more tired because you spend much of your time in that office grumbling. Your office is a place to work and a place to learn. That company you are working in, where you work now, can, if you leave that company, can you set up that kind of business? So you find that sometimes when we pray, it is in God's mercy that He did not even answer us. It's in God's mercy. Because we don't understand that everything God does obeys a particular law. God doesn't just do something out of the blues. He obeys certain laws. When you see people that enjoy uncommon grace and uncommon power, it's because from the beginning of that journey that they took, they were listening to God's voice. They were being ordered by the Lord. They didn't just do something because it was trending. They were obeying God. They were obeying God. So God is now able to make all grace abound to them because the journey itself, they would not have taken it if God did not say go. Most people in church hear these messages on the will of God. Most people are not interested in it because the will of God will require that at some point you have to sacrifice your own will. You put it on the table. And that's why I say to those of you who are single, that are not married, if you are a tribalistic person, the chances that you are going to miss the will of God is already above 50%. If you are a tribalistic person, the chances that you will miss the will of God is already in marriage, it's already high, above 50%. Because God's will for you may not even be someone from your tribe. And then you now have parents who also believe it must be a particular tribe. So you follow your parents, you are looking. Meanwhile, in that your village, there's only one brother that is making it there. And he's married. If you are someone that looks down on people because of their height or weight, the chances that you will also miss God's will can be as high as 50%. Because when God gives you His will, He's not looking at size or weight. So it's easy for you to say, oh, I want the will of God. But are you sure you want the will of God? I want the will of God, but are you sure you want it? Because by the time we tell you, you are going to marry from Fulani land. You marry from Fulani land, then you will be humbled. And for those of you who have never been there, there are some very beautiful women who come from there that are even Christians, Christian Fulani. You know, we went to do evangelism some time ago at the back, and we met a brother in Mende from Kano State, and he's a Christian. I felt like just taking him everywhere. A Christian from Kano? Wow. I said, do we have Christians in Kano? He said, yes. I was so excited. It's like Jesus has come to Nigeria. Because when you hear about some areas, you just believe they are all Muslim. Every time you obey the will of God in a particular matter, you have initiated a law. You have put a law in action. And that's, I really need us to get this point. Because if you don't, you may be having a lot of heartbreaks when it has to do with God's will in your life. Humbling yourself under the power of God that He may lift you up in due time is also a law. Many prayers are handicapped because you do not start with thanksgiving and humility. Some people come to God like they are entitled. God, it's me, your son, Reverend. You come to God. You know, they have known you that anytime you talk, they know who is talking because they know you are a very entitled person. Say, are you Mr. Gbenga? Say, Reverend Gbenga. Point of correction. And that's why before you pray, you must be sure your heart is right. First of all, in the place of, you know, bringing yourself down to give him glory. There are some problems that will not go until you compare that problem to worship God. You will bring that problem to God. Father, I thank you for this sickness because despite all the enemy has done, it has not taken my life. Take the nose of that sickness, drag it on the floor before God. Father, I thank you because in spite of everything, I'm able to get up this morning and I'm able to go to work. Thank you for your help. Bring that problem. You refuse to go. You will be worshiping God together here. There's a posture of humility and thanksgiving that ensures that prayers are answered. Now, if you heard what I said and you don't change your prayer style, it still won't change anything. Because this generation, we are very quick to hear, but not slow to, we are very slow to act. I was talking to a friend a few years ago. He said, you know, in our church, I will mention the church. He said, in our church, after we take the hymn and the prayers, then the priest will come and give us a pep talk. Pep, pep. He did his hand like this. I scattered laugh. He said, pep. I said, maker. Pep. So yesterday, I even went up to look up the word pep. Short, encouraging word. I said, boy, what we are dealing with now, we need more than encouragement. Or we need warfare. We need anointing. I said, so he said, just give us pep. I never forgot that. More than 10 years, he said, pep. He did his hand like this. I said, they never worry you. When they come after you, you will know that it's not, pep. You need to understand the laws of God. On any subject of your life, there is something that God has established as a system. Do you know that there is only one thing that God requires from everybody, whether you are born again or not? Do you know what that thing is? Who has an idea? One thing God requires from everybody, whether they are born again or not. Do you know what that is? Huh? It's not praises. It's glory. Glory. And a classical case is that of Nebuchadnezzar. Why did God punish Nebuchadnezzar? Because he did not give glory to God. And glory is actually like a twin sister to praise. He was a big and he was a very great king. But he believed in himself. He believed in his system. He believed in his international passport. If I can just go now to Canada, 5 years. Just 5 years. We'll be a citizen. As if it's a passport to heaven. Say, just 5 years. Say, Bro Dave, just 5 years. Just 5 years. Then you, in your mind, you're like, huh? If not that I'm fooling Pastor Bingana, she be me too. I'm supposed to be. As you are taking you, Pastor Bingana, to his house. Most everybody has left. Then one day we just get to the airport. I mean, what are you doing here? Say, you are going to Canada. All of us at the airport. It's okay. Send an email to all the church. We are all moving to Canada. Don't come to me, Pastor David, and tell me you are going to Canada. It cannot work. I've already burst your bubble with this message. We die here. Now, sincerely, but I got to say this. Don't be scared. You know, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Pastor David, don't be scared. Papa. Don't be scared. Is it the way that, it's like God is revealing his mind to me? Why is he laughing like this? Like God is exposing something. Okay. I send it to another country. I send it to Russia. He's not even saying amen. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Daniel 4:17. The issue is not going to Canada, because even me now, if God tells me that you can go, or I can now go to Sydney. They have not seen a man of God. When I land there, from the airport, I'll be giving you a flyer. We are starting church. From airport. We are not here to play. If it's just 40 years remaining for me, let's do revival here. Canada for Christ. Australia for Jesus. Forget that thing, man. Who told you my destiny is not in those nations? Don't even try me. Don't even tempt me. If you tempt me with those countries, in fact, if you see me going there, you should tie a rope or a chain so that you can be sure I'm coming back, because they say, well, I will cross. I will just cross. You will not see me again. Change my name to Will Smith. It's not anything. It's just the way people are handling your country. And me, I like where things are organized. I think we all like where things are organized. I think we can all go together now. So I believe in this country. I have a vision for this country. Later, I wasn't hearing this, but I see where they say I was going to Canada. I say, Oh, no. You say you believe this country. You say, you know. Say, we are going to be changing the country. We are going to be influencing. We are going to be the diaspora. We are going to... I said, oh God, go. We know your time. Look at it. Say, this matter is by the decree of the watchers. Now, we are talking about Nebuchadnezzar here. There are some angelic beings that are called the watchers. Do you know what they do? Do you know what this kind of angels do? Do you have an idea what they do? They watch and report to God. Maybe we should come and explain this one another day. Are you blessed? There are some angels, they are called watchers. They don't interfere with what is going on with man. They watch. This one is like he's now having a good attitude. When they go to heaven, weekly report. There are some people now, they are praying more. They are fasting more. Why are they? Say they are here in Maryland. Okay, well, let me have their names. They are watchers. Their work, what they do is different from what your Ugandan angels are doing. Yes, sir. They say there's one guy, his name is Putin. That guy will destroy everywhere. Say, hey, okay. Give him 2 years to live. Bam. So these angelic beings, they are not just people that watch. They speak for God. Look at that statement. This matter is by the decree of what? The watchers were the ones that spoke. The judgment over Nebuchadnezzar. They spoke. They have judgmental spirits. Yes, they look at it and say, he's killing everybody now, but he doesn't have more than 2 years. Anyway, I rest my case. I'm not saying anything. By the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word, of the what? You see, not only one, only once. Those are a category of angelic beings. To the intent, this is the purpose why they want to do this thing to Nebuchadnezzar. That the living may know that what? That Nigeria may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he wills. This is how I know that in one day, the system that is destroying this nation can be overturned in one day. This is how I know. I didn't take a side though, since they've been shouting that somebody wants to become president. I've never taken a side until recently. And I'm taking a side because I'm tired. The day they gave birth to me, there was no light in Ife. I was born in Ife. There was no light. I grew up red WAEC, studied for my WAEC with bush lantern. I'm not sure if my children have ever seen candle before, but it's because I associate darkness with poverty. Yeah. Or poverty. I don't know. There were so many things I lacked growing up. but because we couldn't afford it. My children, I'm sure they've never seen a bush lantern before. But I don't want their own children to face this battle. Now, because my children really see darkness now, really, do you think they will grow up and see having light with fast as a privilege? They won't. It's the exposure. It's what they have. But me now, I mean, there are places I go to preach, and they tell me there, say, we don't put on the gen here till 7 p.m. 7, we put on small gen. That's the best hotel in that village. They put me there. I'm the evangelist that came to deliver all of them. And they put me inside this hole. They say, what happened? He said, the fire is finished. I thought you said the fuel is 7 to 7. He said, no. And it's like something happened. He said, okay. Then the mosquitoes will not come in. And finish the work. And then there are places I went to preach. I left there treating malaria. I'm telling you. That's how well they took care of me. That's how wonderful, you know, and I must not complain as a man of God. He said that they may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he wills and setteth up over it the business of men. That means God can take a man that didn't plan for a kingdom. A man looking for his lost sheep. Say, give that one. If you don't believe this scripture, you will not understand why God can change your life overnight. You are just an information away. Hallelujah. You are just an information away. You are just one recommendation away. There is power in recommendation. Because when somebody recommends you, the person they recommended you to will take care of you because of the person. Yes, sir. Not because he knows you. Yes, sir. They'll give you special treatment. Yes, not because they know you, but you must not go back to that other person and say, they didn't take care of me well. So they will, the honor of that person, they give to you. That's why nobody can say they love you and hate your husband. It cannot happen. I love that sister, but her husband is someone. It's a lie. If you truly love this woman, you must love her husband. That's the way it is. Because you are just being economical with the truth. I love Pastor Benga, but his wife doesn't smile. You are just deceiving yourself. You cannot truly really say you love me if you don't love my children, you don't love my family. That's the way. It's just the way it is. This guy, because he refused to give glory to God, was made a beast. The first man on earth, a king, who ate grass. For how many years? And he didn't die. It's called plant science. So you can imagine a king. I'm sure he would have purged for like 2 years because his system could not have. But God recalibrated him. Even though his external visage was that of a man, but his abdomen, his digestive system was changed and he became a goat. The first time his senses returned to him, what did he say? He said he gave glory to the God of heaven. Mi o jora mi loju, mo fope fun wo, se mi na re Oluwa. Hey! When God's hand rests upon you, it can be for good or evil. You know what? You know the meaning of that song? Say, I do not count myself as anything. I give you glory. That's the meaning of that song. I don't count myself. You know, you come see people praising God, they praise God like they are the one that brought him to church that morning in their car. Say, God, we are here. Oh yeah. Go and bless your people. You see the reason why the unbelievers, it seems that anything they do, we always go and copy it and bring it to church. It's because they have not seen the song of Zion. They have not seen us worship our God. Yes, they have not seen us worship our God. Yes, so that's why they bring something from the world. You to see yourself, you are doing your hand like, because you don't know who God is. You don't know who God is. There's a way we worship God in Zion. But unless you see it, you can't be part of it. That guy was brought out of his madness of 7 years, and the first thing he did was he gave glory. Since that day, we didn't hear pen from that man again. Just, don't fight, though. Don't fight. You people should be living in love. Love yourself. Eh? See, this life, what is, let's settle. No. Please, this time around, we don't want noise. Everybody should be serving the God of Daniel. I beg. That 7 years, I don't wish it for my enemy. I beg. Just let me be here. You understand? I'm a king under a king. So you are not being stupid, though. When you praise God, like everything depends on it. Because even the law of praise is built on certain principles that involves humbling yourself before the Lord. Things you could not do for a man, you will do it in front of God. That's what brings the power in praise. That's why a man could say to God, the dead cannot praise you. If I die, nobody will praise you, the one praising you. And yes, don't let, I know praise is in your heart, but it's also in your dance. So I say, me, I am not really a good dancer, but in my mind, I'm dancing for Jesus. Show us. I was watching I don't know which country, whether it was Ghana or one African country. There was a praise worship session, and the brother, he was sitting in front. Some people don't know how to dance, but he was doing something like it. I burst out laughing, but I had to correct myself. The very powerful song, melody, everything, but the brother could not dance. But because he must praise his God, because he had the revelation, he was doing like this. Then he would change the other and do like this. Then he would do like this. It was so. This guy out of his mind, like, but. You know, his dance did not rhyme with the beat. It did not rhyme. He was just doing like this. Then he would do like this. You know, I looked at him. I was like, wow. Maybe there was another song in his mind. Because whatever they were doing in that place did not match. But that guy was praising his God. Everything that propels power is built on a system. Therefore, Romans chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But, nay, in all these things, what in what things? No, you are not getting it. The fact that we are being killed, we are suffering from persecutions and tribulations. But we know that in all these things that we are going through, we are more than what? Conquerors. Through him that what? The conquering power of God is rooted in a revelation of the love of God. The power that conquers all. If your heart is not for the Lord, you may pray, you may fast, you may shout, but there are certain extent, there is a level God will not go to if you are an outsider. Listen to me. You must be like that plant that is connected to the soil. You must be like that plant who draws its nutrients from its source. It is your source that will sustain you. You must not be for one day disconnected. This guy here is a guy whose heart is for the Lord. This kind of guy many times may not even pray for help before God will show up and say, Who touched me? Because he said we are the apple of his own eye. God would not open his eyes and allow somebody. There are certain battles you will not have to face. Because before you speak, you will find that God is defending you. He's fighting your cause. But he said you will only be more than conquerors if your love is in place. That means when you pray, you must pray because you love him.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I, you know, some of us, because somehow, still they try to balance this thing. When you are watching Netflix, some of these wicked people, one episode could be 55 minutes. You will not realize how much of a time you have wasted until you spend 6 hours. You'll say, ah, we still don't know who is behind this plot to kill the king. Somebody wants to kill the king. Six episodes, 6 hours, and you are there. Then you check the laptop or the, say, ah, this is up to season 6. So, wow. Say, ah, let me go to Pastor Bengas. He always has the internet. You now bring your laptop. Say, fiber one. Oh, yeah. Say, ah, you announce. I say, bro, it's time for prayer. As we say, yes, Pastor. Is that thing, I say, that is on his, ah. Listen, if you want to go far with God, you will run out of fuel. Except you have caught a revelation of the love of God. It is that love that lets you know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That every time you are sick and God heals you, it is because of his love for you. Every time you called upon, the Bible says, call upon him in the day of trouble and he will hear you. Every time you called upon, you now know that at the root of every answer is God's genuine love for you. Is God, the reason why God comes through for you and your family is because somehow he is mindful of you. It is not your prayers. Those prayers are important. It is because for some reason, God has found a reason to love you. And listen, don't tell me that thing like, oh, you know, I don't really like her. I don't do this. Spend time with her, you know. Spend time with her. You spend time with her, you just realize that, man, this girl, she's fire. She's anointed. Say, no, it must be figure this. It must be figure that. It's because you have not spent time with her. When you spend time with her, you will know that figure can be destroyed just by having a child. Yes, sir. At the end of the day, it's the woman you married. She may be catwalking. When you marry, you will now know who you married. That catwalking can vanish overnight. You just looking for it, you won't see it again. Hey, it's like I've been deceived. No. You saw your idol. Catwalking. Catwalking. Say, Pastor, this one. Hey. This God is good. She see the way she's walking. So I can't say it. I say, you can't. I'm seeing something here. Listen to me. The conquering power of God is rooted in his love. And this means that everything we do now, henceforth, as we bring this, you know, month of prayer to a close, must now be motivated by our understanding of God's love for us and our response to that love. If not, the day somebody dies, you will be angry at God. The day they give you query and tell you you are suspended for 3 months, you will be angry. But the scripture says, in all these things, we know, see, listen to me, that you are working with God doesn't mean you have challenges. It just means that in all these things, the one who loves you will make a way of escape. That's what it means. You will make a way of escape. That God will not permit a man, a human being alive, to write the last chapter of your life. That's what it means. That's what it means. They may do their own thing, but God will do his own thing. That's what it means. Why do you want to live your life? Don't be a God user. Don't just look at God like a computer, you punch buttons. No! Your love for God must be palpable. People come around you, it's just like a love relationship. You are just walking with God. He said we are more than cross through him that loved us. That means that it was him that first loved us. Before we loved him. If you don't understand this principle of divine, of the love of God, as a principle and as a law. As a law is built on a system. If you don't understand it, it's like a circulatory system. You just notice that things are not circulating. Look, and I know that sometimes we have some of our warfare songs, and those things are good. Because sometimes you need to send a strong signal to the camp of the enemy. And if you are like, where I came from, you will be hearing songs like, Dide Togun Togun, Dide tija tija. Dide alabala. You are sending a signal. All of you in front of me now, clear or you perish. You are, it's a warfare song. Or you may be someone that was trained with warfare. Wow! Oluwa! Warfare agbara re o! Wow! Oluwa! These are warfare songs. When they challenge you, those are the kind of songs you sing. They are not English songs. Find the version in your own language. And carry your bell. Bagam! When it's not the time for you to be saying no. But more than all these songs, you should also have those songs that remind you of what this is all about. What is it all about? Because there's no warfare in heaven. When you die and get to heaven, they won't ask you how many people you destroyed. where's Michael? Please, so don't be far from me. You are already far. You know, if you saw the Lord Jesus, forget that guy on your calendar. If you saw the Lord Jesus, would you recognize him? Why was it that it wasn't Peter, but the one whom Jesus loved, that recognized him after he resurrected? You see, the power of vision, the power of accurate power of pre-prophetic is in the love of God. Because Peter had backslided. He had gone back to his old business. If ministry would not work, I went to school. Let me go back and be running things. You know, like I say, we are running things. He went back to be running things. He dragged the brother John, dragged him with him. That's the assistant pastor of the church. He dragged him. Say, John, you know, in life, as you are doing ministry, it's also good you have your own business. You understand? So that everything will be going together. So he deceived John. So John followed like Lucozade. Just follow. Until Jesus came. And Peter was so lost in what he was doing, even though there was no result. But he was lost in it. And then it was John that said, "Behold, it is the Master." You want accurate vision? Let your prayer life be structured around the love of God. Your understanding of God's love for you. That you are not rejected, you are accepted. Because the devil will spend a lot of time trying to sell that narrative to you that you are not the kind of person God is looking for. You will see the way your emotions are playing kite and ludo with your destiny. Your emotions playing kite. There are people 11 p.m. They are still awake. You know, that's when their mind will be giving them strange pictures. You'll be imagining vain things. So why do the nations, the hidden, imagine vain things? That's when your mind will be like, you are in another realm, lost in. See, let me tell you. It takes time. But if you start today, you can see results in 3 months. This is why many times people pray and God doesn't validate them publicly. Because God cannot validate a stranger. Jesus taught us and he said, "It is on the strength of my love for you that the whole world will know that you belong to me, not by demonstration of power, but a demonstration of love. It is out of that love that I love my wife, I love my children, I love my neighbors, I love people around me. Out of the love that Jesus has put in your heart, that is where you will be taken from and be loving people. That's where you can look at someone that is so annoying and just ignore the person. Because on a good day, you have the answer for that person. On a very good day. The love of God is what gives to us the conquering power of God. But it takes a lot of time. Settling down. Build all the supernatural infrastructures around your life. Around the love of God. So when I go to prayer, I'm going because I'm having a meeting with my Father. That must be the underlying motive. So when the devil is trying to make you feel tired, it's because he has taken away that knowledge from you. And somehow you cannot remember why you are even here in the first place. So you are now beginning to struggle here since morning, 5 minutes. It's not a question of time. It's a question of where your heart is. An average believer today only follows God because of what God will do for them. But I'm telling you, if you want to get the best of God, go and revisit your love altar. Go and learn songs that will help you draw near to God. Love songs, Christian love songs. The brother that sang the song that I was singing is Your Grace. You know, when I watch him, I'm always touched. Very handsome brother. He's 64 years now. That song is Your Grace. That was a generation. Eh? It's not the one we do now, make a lot of noise. The song a generation sings tells you of their state with God. That guy belonged to Domwell's generation. Paul Wilbur. Who else now? Ron Kenoly. But if you see this guy, he looks like the kind of guy you can use to act Superman. I'm not joking. Michael Smith. Very handsome guy. Very extremely handsome. He has also done drugs before. He has deviated from the Lord. When he was singing this song in a live audience, when he finished, he was weeping. Like, how can a man's heart be so tender? You are not the rock of ages. Why? Just because you are a man does not mean you should be so hard like a stone. The love of God should be able to compel tenderness. Tenderness. Uncle Tio. The love of God should be able to compel tenderness. I look at this man. He's 64. I want three of his songs. He always ends them in tears. Because what he's singing about is actually something happening to him. It's real. It's not just a song. It's real to him. We need a lot of tender brothers in God's presence. It will make your application for that sister easy. I'm telling you, because you look like the rock of ages. You need to understand. There's nothing you are trying to prove. I'm telling you. Do you know that? I used to be like that, very hard. When I became a pastor, I didn't know. They didn't tell me that this work includes crying. And nobody told me. I've never seen a pastor who said, oh, you'll be crying when you become a pastor. Because all the pastors I saw, they were very strong. Until I realized, even when I'm watching a film, I'm just sitting in front of him. When I see how light overcomes darkness, I'll be shedding tears. And clearly, it's not a Christian film. Just watching how light, how good overcomes evil, I'll just be shedding tears. It's just a film. It's just Miss Marvel. You understand? But I'm watching it and I'm shedding tears. I'm listening to somebody's testimony, I'm shedding tears. Sometimes I'm alone and I'm shedding tears. Then I will say, God, you didn't call me to be a sissy. What is this? He said, you cannot be a shepherd without the heart of a shepherd. The heart of a shepherd is a tender one. It is that heart that makes David leave the sheep and pursue the one that is stuck in the mouth of the lion to deliver that sheep out. So, a spiritual man engages in warfare on the strength and the weapon of love, because none must be lost. It's good to fight spiritual warfare, but if you want to always be victorious, love is the way to victory. If you want to always be victorious, love is the way to victory. Come on, say, I'm a child of love. I'm a child of God's love. This may not look like a regular message for you, but I do encourage you to consider it. You must remember that it was the love that Jesus had for us that took him to the cross. And that's what brought him out. The moment Jesus rose up, he went on a rescue mission for Peter. It was love. He stood with Peter. He didn't even talk about what Peter did. The only question he asked Peter, do you love me? Or you may be anointed and you miss it. Somebody who loves God can never miss it. Never. Because everything is now motivated by the love of God. They asked the brother, why are you able to put up with your very difficult wife? He said, I just try to see Jesus in her. So he ceased from warfare, because sometimes when the woman does it, it feels like not being a Christian. You understand? It feels like not, like to beat the woman. It feels like not, but he said, the moment he switched the gear, I just see Christ in her. So when I see Christ, I ask, well, can I beat Christ? He said, no. So the world needs to see what Jesus on the earth looks like. And they will only see that in the love of God. Hallelujah. Please rise on your feet.